Can you hear me? I'm going to preach from here because of the PowerPoint and the cable cannot reach over there. I hope you don't mind. And I just want to, before I begin the message, to talk a little bit with you. As you heard, I'm leaving in June 2nd. I'm going back to the mainland to graduate. And then from the mainland, I go to Canada. And then from Canada, I go back to Brazil to continue the project there that some of you know. We are trying to start a missionary training school there. And I will also be working in another missionary training school as a Bible teacher and also beginning a co-opportunity program there in this school. And for those that were planning to co-porter with me this summer, I want to tell you that I will begin the co-porting program here in the island. And then a friend of mine that is coming from Heartland to do his internship under Pastor Keller, he will continue the co-porting program. So you don't have to give up the co-porting program because of me, because you're not serving Jesus because of me, amen? But you are serving Jesus because of his love towards you. And because you love humanity. So you can still serve Jesus even though I will not be part of the co-porting program. And I want to also say thank you very much for this church for allowing me to do my internship here. It was a very growing experience and a very learning experience. I was very blessed here. Thank you for everything you've done for me. And I appreciate everything. All your smiles, your bread, and, you know, everything. And praise God, I just praise the Lord. This church will stay in my heart. This church is part of who I am today. And I will always remember you. And by God's grace, I'll see you in heaven. Amen? Let's kneel for another word of prayer. Father in heaven, I ask you to send an angel to touch me. And to give my strength back. I pray in a very special way for this church. That your spirit may stay here. And I pray that this church will surrender all to Jesus and help us to be faithful until the end. Also, give me the message from the throne of grace. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy. And chapter 3. And as you're turning there, I would like to say to you that I preach what the Lord put in my heart to preach. What I think the church needs to grow to the full measure of Christ. And I believe this message is very relevant for us as Christians. And I want to begin this message here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I ask you to stay with me as I try to develop this message. Beginning verse 1. The Bible says, "This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come." What is another word for perilous? Dangerous. The Bible is saying that in the last days, in the days of Pune Seventh-day Adventist Church, dangerous times shall come. Why? The next verse. Verse 2, the Bible says, "For men shall be lovers of their own self." The Bible says that in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves, and this is dangerous. It gives 19 reasons why it's dangerous in the last days, but reason number one is because men shall be lovers of their own self. And what is more surprising, Paul is not addressing the people in the world. He is addressing the people and in the church in the last days. How do I know that? Verse 5, if you continue to read the context, I want you to see what it says in verse 5. Same chapter. In verse 5, the Bible says, having the form of, what is the next word there? Godliness. Don't try to tell me that the world today have the form of godliness. When I look to the world today, I do not see the form of godliness. If there is anyone that have the form of godliness in the last days, this is the church of God. And why is it so dangerous when those that have the form of godliness are lovers of their own selves? Why is it so dangerous? Because it is easy to point out this problem in the world. Because when you see people in the world, they are living their life the way they want, they are fulfilling the desires of their flesh, and then you say, oh, there you have people that are lovers of their own selves. But when they come to the church, to those that have the form of godliness, it becomes very difficult to diagnose the problem because they are not enjoying the things that the world is enjoying out there. But when you contrast the love of self with the love of God, no matter how much form of godliness you have, your love of self will be exposed. The Bible talks about two types of love. Love number one, the genuine love, the love of God, that we find in that verse, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave, what did he give? $5? His only begotten son, for what? What purpose? For whosoever believe him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life, dealing with salvation. The love of God is willing to give what is best, to sacrifice his own self, that the lost might be saved. I'll repeat that. The love of God is willing to give what is best, to sacrifice your own self, that those that are lost might be saved. But in the other hand, the love of self, which is not really love, it's selfishness, is only willing to receive and to benefit yourself. I know you don't have the full picture yet. I want you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. And as you're turning there, I want to let you know that this is not the same group of people. However, they are facing the same problem here. The people in Isaiah 58 and the people there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, they are facing the same problem. Notice what it says in Isaiah 58 in verse 1. If you're there, please say amen. Okay, the Bible says, "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." Let's start right here. What is the situation of God's people according to this verse? Is that good or bad? It's bad, right? Because they are in transgression and sin. They are not right with God. But what is the first word of the next verse? Yet. It's going to make a contrast. They are not right with God, but yet. Let's continue. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God, they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. In other words, these people over here, They have the form of godliness, but they are not right with God. They seek me daily. How do we seek the Lord? Through prayer, right? Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 said that Daniel sought the Lord with prayer and supplication. So here you have a people that have a prayerful life. And then it says, continuing verse 2 again, reading one more time, and they delight to know my ways. What are the ways of the Lord? What is he referring to? Isaiah chapter 2. Keep your fingers here in Isaiah 58. Turn there with me to Isaiah chapter 2. And I want you to stay with me really close here in this verse, because it's a little bit difficult. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. The Bible says, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, Mount Zion, to the house of the God of Jacob, Jerusalem, the temple. And he, the Lord, will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So what is the ways of the Lord? They are going to Mount Zion, to the temple of God, to learn from his ways. And it says what came out of the temple of the Lord was the law and the word of God. So back to Isaiah 58. I don't want to lose you now. Back to Isaiah 58, you have a people that delight to study the Bible and to know the ways of the Lord. They delight to know what is the law of God. They seek the ordinances of righteousness, of justice. But they are not right with God. They pray about their job, they pray about their family, they pray about their schooling, about their future. But how about evangelism? How about seeking those that are lost? Anyone here has the ministry of prayer? You don't need to raise your hands. They study the Bible. Some of them, and there is no reason to be proud, some of them, they know their Bibles more than pastors. As I go around Adventism, some people, they really know their Bibles. And in their free time, they say, you know what we can do? We can listen a sermon. Who are you going to listen to? We have David Asterix, we have Ivor Myers, Peter Gregory, Stephen Board. We heard David Asterix yesterday. How about Stephen Board today? Okay. It seems that they are getting more knowledge to share to others, to become more effective, to preach the gospel. But no, it's just for themselves. It's just to have more head knowledge. They delight to know what is right. Tell me how to dress. Tell me how I should eat. Tell me how I should listen to music. Tell me about this, and that. It's all about themselves. It's a self-centered religion. They delight to know the ways of the Lord, but they are not right with God. When you talk with them about seeking first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, they don't really understand it. Their lives show that they don't understand. My job first, and then if I have spare time, I'll serve the Lord and others. My schooling first, my education first, and then I'll serve the Lord. My house first, and then I'll serve God. They don't even realize, no matter how much form of godliness you have, you still are lovers of your own self. And you're not right with God. I want to show a statement to you. I want you to realize that always there will be something in your life to do, but you have to prioritize. This out of Age 195. Every true disciple is born into the kingdom of God as a missionary. I want to meditate upon this passage. When it says every true disciple, it's implying that there are false disciples. The true disciple, he's born into the kingdom of heaven as a missionary. And I believe that majority of us over here had an experience with God. Because the Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen.
I believe that many of us had the experience with God and experienced that zeal to tell others about the love of Jesus, but very few maintain that conversion experience. They become lovers of their own selves. You know, this statement over here that I'm going to read, it's very hard to understand. And it seems simple, but it's not. I want you to stay with me here and meditate. Christ's followers have been redeemed for service. Our Lord teaches that the true object of life is ministry. Christ himself was a worker, and to all his followers, he gives the law of service. Let's meditate. It says that the true object of life, what is he talking about? It's saying that the purpose of our lives is what? Ministry. Meaning, if I have a wash machine and I try to blend my vitamins, is it going to work? Why? Because a wash machine was not made to make vitamins. It's not the purpose of a wash machine. When it says that the object of Christian life is ministry, it's saying that the purpose of your life, you were made. You want to be happy. You wonder why you have a miserable Christian experience sometime. It's because it's all about receiving and not giving. The Dead Sea is dead because it only receives. It does not impart. Let's continue. The same statement over here. Three more slides on this statement. Service to God and to their fellow man. Here Christ has presented to the world a higher conception of life than they had ever known. By living to minister for others, man is brought into connection with Christ. I want you to see this, that Christ presented to the world something that the world had not known. What is it? A higher conception of life. Not living for yourself, but living for others. And I know many people cannot understand this. Living for others. Giving up your own little life that others might be saved. Yes, you may be a carpenter, you can be whatever you are, a doctor, a teacher, a lawyer, but that's not the purpose of your life. That is just your job. Let's continue the same statement. Each is to work in cooperation with Christ for the salvation of souls. You know, some people, they have just like the perfect excuse. They say, but I don't know how to do anything. If you say that, you are hindering the Holy Spirit to be poured upon your life. Because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit gave gifts to every man according to his will. When you say that, I don't have any gift to serve Christ, you are demonstrating your unbelief in the Spirit of God. And yet we are praying every day, please, Lord, give me your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon me. For what? For yourself? We don't understand that the Holy Spirit, it's not only for yourself, it's to enable you to reach others. We want to use the Holy Spirit to have a more satisfying spiritual life because we know this message is true. But the Holy Spirit say, no, you want me to be poured out in your life? It's to service, to do service. And many people are hindering the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit cannot fall upon the church. While we have this mindset that I don't know how to do anything, is not about you. It's about what God can do through you. Amen? And remember that parable? One received 5 talents, the other received 2 talents, and the other received 1 talent? Remember that parable? And then the one that received 5 talents, he invested his talent, and what happened? It multiplied, right? And the other received 2 talents, he used his talent and multiplied. And the one that received 1 talent, he hid. And then when his Lord came, the second coming of Jesus, he lost everything. Why? Because he was selfish. He was not willing to impart, but to receive only. But let me ask a question. If that one that had 1 talent, if he would have used that 1 talent, what would happen? Multiply. I want to tell a personal testimony. And some of you may not believe that, but it's true. Maybe hard to believe. When I came to the church, I have 1 talent. God gave me just 1 talent for me. He told me, your talent is to tell your personal testimony, and that's it. Okay. And I did it. I told the people my personal testimony. And then somebody came to me and said, Giancarlo, why don't you sing with us? We need men in the choir. Usually the choir is always missing men. I don't know why. And I said, okay, I'll go just 1 time. And they want me to sing tenor. You have to understand, I was coming from a punk rock band. And they were trying to sing like in harmony. And for me, it was so boring. And I could understand tenor. Why don't we sing all the melody? And it's easier. And I didn't find pleasure in singing in harmony. But and then after we finished that song, I said, I don't want to sing in harmony anymore. If you want me to sing, I'll sing the melody, okay? And then she was very patient with me. She worked with me. And then I started finding the joy in singing in harmony. And then I sang in many choirs and groups and quartets and solo. Because I gave it a try. I persisted. And then somebody called me to teach the Sabbath school. You know, we have to begin in the church so we can go out in the world. You have to be there in my first Sabbath school. I spoke for 5 minutes or 7, and then I sat down because I didn't know what to say. It was so terrible. And I was shaking. But then I persisted. And then I became the Sabbath school teacher there in that church. And then I used to go with the Bible work to watch her giving Bible study. Just watching. And sometimes I ventured to make a comment, and then sometimes I said the wrong thing. And, you know, but the Lord was blessed. And then one time she said, I want you to give the Bible study today. And that's how I began to give Bible study. And then I went to Heartland. They taught me how to preach. I had no idea how to put a sermon together. So there I had a teacher. You can use that as an excuse. The other ones I didn't have, like, training, but this one I had training. And there they said, listen, if you want to graduate from this college, you have to co-porter. I said, I'm not a co-porter. I'm preaching. I was just learning how to preach. I was preaching every opportunity. I am a preacher, not a co-porter. But then I went. First week, I was there, you know, with zeal to the Lord, carrying my great controversy. Carrying my desire of ages, carrying my Christ object lessons to give to the people the present truth. But I had my cookbook too, you know, to open the heart of the people, my Foods That Healing. And I was selling that whole week, cookbook and Foods That Heal. And then I said in the curb, Lord, I'm a preacher and I'm selling cookbooks. And I was discouraged. Sit down on the curb and just kind of complaining to the Lord. And I said, you know what? A discouraged man can do nothing. I got up. I went to the next door. And I sold a children's book called My Friend Jesus. It was not a great controversy, but was the beginning. It was a message book for the children. And the Lord taught me how to cooperate. Friends, what I'm trying to say is God can use you even though you think nothing can come out of you. Amen? You have to believe. And you have to be willing to give your best and to sacrifice yourself that the lost might be saved. Amen? Woe is me if I'm preaching to you salvation by works. What I'm trying to say here, the point is this. Get self out of the way and let the love of Jesus be in your heart. And then all these things will follow. That's what I'm saying. You have to understand that it doesn't matter how high standard you have. If you do not possess that love, one more time, which is willing to give what is best, to sacrifice yourself that the lost might be saved, it avails nothing. Let's see this next statement over here. The Lord requires that far greater personal effort shall be put forth by the members of our churches. Souls have been neglected. Towns and villages and cities have not heard the truth for this time. You know, sometimes we think, I was talking about all these gifts, co-poetry and teaching and preaching and, you know, all these things, singing. But there are other gifts, like the gift of feeding the poor. How about that one? Do you think it's a gift of the Spirit? You go feed the poor. And in the beginning, they will get your food like they don't really care who you are. But as they observe every week that day you are there to feed them, your self-sacrificing love for them, their conscience starts being awakened. The Spirit of God starts speaking to them. Listen, these people, it's just something else. They are not like the other people of the world. They are not like some religious groups that are willing, they just want to debate what is truth. They just want to argue. You see in Isaiah 58, that's exactly what it says. They say, Lord, we have sought you. We are fasting. And the Lord says, you are fasting for strife and debate. I want to read this statement over here, and it's profound too, although it seems to be very simple. Look at the very beginning. To give is what? To leave. So what is the opposite of this statement? If you retain, what happened with you? You die. You're dying your Christian experience? It's because you are not giving. Just for you. All good things, don't get me wrong. The form of godliness is there. Continue this statement. The life that will be preserved is the life that is freely given in service to God and man. Those who for Christ's sake sacrifice their life in this world will keep it unto life eternal. Friends, I want to give an illustration. And again, I know that's not biblical. It's a parable. It's just an illustration. But there is a point. There was a man that he saw hell. And we know the Bible doesn't teach about a place called hell. But he saw hell in this parable. And you see, he saw that hell was a beautiful place. And he noticed a huge table in hell full of good food. But there was a problem. The people in hell, their elbows were the other way around. And because of that, they could not bend their arms to bring the food into their mouth. So even though they had all this food, they could not eat it. And they died. And then he saw heaven. Heaven was a beautiful place. And he noticed a huge table full of food in heaven. And he saw that the people in heaven also had their elbows the other way around. But they were feeding one another. And they lived. What is the object lesson? The ones in hell, they perish because they were selfish. And the ones in heaven, they were willing to give. They were not self-centered. It's a higher purpose of life that man cannot understand, that the world has not seen. The one who stands nearest to Christ will be he who on earth has drunk most deeply of the spirit of his self-sacrificing love. I want to continue this statement. I'm going to put the rest of this statement. But what is this spirit of his self-sacrificing love? Notice very carefully now. Love that moves the disciple as it moved our Lord to give how much? All, to live and to labor, and what is the next word? Sacrifice even how much? Unto death for the saving of humanity. Remember when I said that the love of God is willing to give what is best, to sacrifice your own self, that the lost might be saved? That's what this statement is saying. To give all, to sacrifice even unto death for the saving of humanity. Unless this love is in our hearts, my friends, you know, I have to make it very plain. If this love is not in your heart, in my heart, I am not in a saving relationship with Christ. I am not. There is a statement that says, I don't have over here, that the world cannot understand the man of God. Because making money is not all observing for the servant of God. He spent his energy serving humanity and God. You know, I want to make an appeal. As I presented this message, the Holy Spirit spoke in the heart of you, in your heart. And some of you know whether you are in the faith or not. So I want to make an appeal very clear, very direct, not emotional, but it is a commitment with God. If you want to say in your life, God, I want to have that type of love. I want to live to serve God and to serve humanity. Even though it doesn't make sense sometimes, even though the world, those that I'm serving might not understand, I want to fulfill the purpose of my life. I want to cease from my little world and to learn what it means to seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. If it is your desire to have this loving God and to be engaged in ministry, I don't know what God is calling you, I want to invite you to come to the front now. I want to pray to you. I want to pray with you. If you are your desire to say, Lord, I don't know how to do anything, but I believe in the Holy Spirit, and He can use me. It doesn't matter if I start making less money in my life, if I may not have the beautiful house that I always dreamed. It is time to be like Jesus and to let Him add all these things in our lives. There is still time for more to come. If you want to commit your life to say, Jesus, I want to have a ministry to you. I want to serve. I want to win souls to you. And I'm there to preach the gospel in different forms, literature, feeding the poor, singing, visiting the widow, the fatherless, visiting those in the nursing home, not once a month, but that's my ministry. Whatever it is. If you want a higher purpose for your life, I want you to make a conscious commitment with God today. as far as possible, those that came new, please let's kneel for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we have been selfish many times in our lives. We ask for forgiveness. And sometimes we think we are good Christians, Lord, but this love is not in our hearts. As a people, we come together now to plead with you, forgive us and pour out the love of God in our hearts. Help us to experience that love that is willing to give our best, to sacrifice ourselves, that the lost might be saved. Father, we know that it's not our job to convert souls, but to preach the word. We pray that you bless our ministry. Some people that came to the front, Lord, they don't have any idea what to do. But Father, we believe in the Holy Spirit. I pray that you give gifts to men, to every one of them, and they will use it and multiply. I know that Satan will attack those that came to the front and make this commitment, but I pray for a special mercy that your holy angels may surround them, that the seed of truth will not be stolen, the conviction of the heart will not be taken from them. Some of them have to make changes in their lives, Lord, perhaps to work less hours, or whatever it is. I pray that you give them wisdom and strength for a higher purpose of life. Lord, pour out your Spirit without measure upon your people through the righteousness of Jesus. We thank you so much for hearing this prayer and for speaking to our hearts, and revive us and don't allow us to die. For to give is to live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.